coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Just 2 days removed from the Browns' victory, 23-13 over the Oakland Raiders. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you for the next 2 hours. Just the two of us, and it feels so nice. We'll be with you here today. We're going to hand out our grades for Sunday's game, going through all the different position groups. We're going to recap the week that was in the NFL. We're going to have three topics with the three-time Super Bowl champion, Jerod Cherry, at 2:15, 2:30, a little after further review. And, of course, as always, we do want to hear from you today. And here are the Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day to think about, to get ready to react to. Number one, Browns are 3-1 in their last four games. In your opinion, what is the biggest reason why the Browns have had one of their best Octobers ever? Also, give us your grades from Sunday's game. What position gets your highest grade? Which position gets your lowest grade and why? And finally, how would you get the running game back up and going? Is how I would do it, but that is neither here nor there. Matt, it is good to be with you here today, celebrating a victory for the Browns. And it's funny, yesterday I felt like there was a lot of vibe that the Browns lost the game, even though they won it. Today, I think the realization that, listen, it is hard to win in the NFL. Wins are wins. And you know what? It's a good thing, I suppose, if we're going to be nitpicky about wins for a change, because we haven't been in a situation where we could even pretend to be nitpicky about a win for the Browns.
You're right, and we have to enjoy the moment. And again, that's kind of what I've tried to convey to Browns fans in the Dog Pound yesterday. Let's live in this moment and salvage this victory, because they are very hard to come by. And we know victory should be in front of us again this coming Sunday, and then thereafter it gets tough. And there's going to be fights. And that's what so many head coaches, as cliche as it might sound, they sell you on at the start of the football season, at the rough patches of a football season, is it's a fight. We got punched. We need to get back up. Or we got knocked down. We need to get back up. Or let's punch back. And, as we dive into some of those hot topics, I have my own concept, and it involves the crow, but not necessarily all crow, as to how we get the running back, back in shape, up and going, and being the dominant force that we all saw it can be for this football team. But I really do think, 3-1 is a passing grade, for that second quarter of this football season. And then again, everyone wants to project and looked, at the rest of the schedule and project what our final record would be. But no game is more important than this Sunday's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No, you got to get it. You got to get to 5-3, get two games over 500. I think you're going to need the running game to get there. Now, the good news, you're facing a Tampa Bay team that has struggled on the defensive side of the ball, and we're going to get to them in a while. But I think really today, to me, it's a focus on this team and what it has to do. And I'll be interested. Let's just get right into it, the running game, because when you look at this Browns team, it has been a dominant running team for the majority of the season. Now, it is waning the last couple of weeks, and if you just were to look at kind of the balance, you're over 100 yards in every game early in the season in terms of rushing, other than the ball Baltimore game, which you were just under 100, just at about 90. But since that time, the last couple of weeks, you've set back-to-back season lows in rushing yards, 69, and then in the game against the Oakland Raiders, all the way down to 39 on just 1.6 yards per carry. This ground game is so important, I think, to everything the Browns do. And listen, it's just a fact of life, right? Teams are going to sell out to stop what makes you good. What really separates teams in the NFL is the ability to counterpunch and to counteract what teams are trying to do to them. And when they try to take away your run, you still have to be able to find a way to run. So, Matt, as you look at this Browns ground game, it is struggling. Last 2 weeks, as we've said, have been very, very poor. Under 2 yards a carry last week, under 3 yards a carry the week before. What do you see as, if anything, as somewhat of a fix to what's going on that ground?
Well, I think after Sunday's game, Nick McDonald played a very, very good game. Not at any way, shape, or form the standards of Alex Mack, but he filled in that spot diligently. And I think having Greco back at guard gives us our best chance of moving forward. So the fact that they've got those, 56 snaps, I think it was offensively, under their belt of game time experience, bodes well for us moving forward. But the couple things that I want to touch upon is that I think Kyle Shanahan, it falls on his shoulders as well as the personnel playing in the football game, is innovation. Because That zone run scheme is going to be who we are, and we're not going to deviate from it by too far. But I think what we have to do is we have to innovate with, again, maybe some fly sweep actions, maybe some reverse actions, anything we can do to open up, to kind of stretch that defense, you know, laterally and open them up. And then we, you know, hit them downhill with Tate Crowell or West, things like that. And that's I've been a part of playing with teams that an offense had struggled, you know, in a couple weeks, and you have to manufacture yards on the ground. And when I say that, it means, you know, putting us in a second and eight because you gained eight yards on first down with a reverse or a fake handoff or that counter flip play. Things to just keep a defense on their toes, because as we saw on Sunday, the Oakland Raiders were in a 7-man, almost an 8-man box consistently, sometimes with a safety at 13 yards, you know, at, you know, 9 essentially playing the run, because we were very predictable and we were very deliberate of when we were going to run the football and when we weren't. And you could even see so much that the Raiders still, once they had stopped the run, we're still sucking up on the play fake, knowing we were going to, you know, pass the football. But it just, it's a threat. It's something that we have to maintain. But again, the innovation of manufacturing yards and the innovation of playing to the strengths of the personnel that we have. And it, right now, it's not necessarily getting that big push like we had those few weeks when we ran for 100 plus.
From a defensive standpoint, because I think there are two ways to go about this, and we'll get into the personnel aspect of it in a second, but from your standpoint, if the Browns decided, okay, listen, our tight ends are having problems at the edge right now, why don't we just put Vinston Painter in there as kind of an extra lineman in that spot to block and just say, we're going to come out and show you the power look. Now, it takes away somebody as a passing option, but at the same time, it gives you somebody who's definitely going to set the edge for you and help control you on those wide runs. So that's one thing that you can do. The other thing you can do is spread it out. Go multiple receivers, try to get, as you said, people wide and out of the box, because that makes it easier. It's just easier. There aren't so many guys to fill all the gaps. It's not as easy for the defense. From your standpoint as a linebacker, when was it tougher to stop the run? And is it something where you need to kind of go back and forth and mix it in?
When it's hard to stop the run as a linebacker is when there's balance in an offense. You know, when there's as much of a threat of run as there is of pass, and we had that early in the season, and that has disappeared as of late. So in your mind, you know, and again, I really do feel that, you know, Gus, as I said, yeah, Gus Bradley and Tony Sperano were hyping up these defensive line, you know, coaches to get into the minds of the defensive front to sell out on the run, and that our defensive secondary, again, as we heard callers say yesterday, talk about small wide receivers struggling in man-to-man, you know, only scheming these guys open, that they could play in one-on-one and match up extremely well, so they could sell out and make us one-dimensional. And I think the more balanced that we can become, and again, you have to be able to run the football, or else there is no balance, and we saw that, is it's tough when you have that 50-50 in your head. So however we create that, and like I said, is that you create doubt and you create holes in a defense with, again, the fly sweep or that reverse motion, and you don't even have to give it to the guy. Eventually you will, right. But it pauses, you know, that pause in your mind you have to maintain. And I really did like in the fourth quarter, Kyle Shanahan going to that power running game. You know, you've got a thumper fullback in small, you know, short guy who can root out, you know, some of those taller defensive ends or outside linebackers. I love seeing that power because, again, we're going to run the football, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. And I just like the mentality of that.
Does that help? So that kind of goes back to maybe bringing a guy like Vinston Painter in.
Yeah.
And put him as a jumbo tight end and saying, we're going big, we're going heavy, and we're just going to run the football down your throats.
And you saw it early in the year, and this week, you know, we may be without, you know, Jordan Cameron because of that concussion. So you might get some 13 sets like we saw against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where we took advantage of, you know, Jordan Cameron down the field, but also run the football. Bring him in as that extra tight end. Rely on Barnage and Dre to get open down the field off of the play action. But again, when you line him up, you're kind of saying, hey, you're putting your stake in the ground going, we're going to run with this big guy,
right?
You know, and you're not going to be able to stop us. And we like him better than you like your outside linebacker. And that's a great package. The other thing that I would like to see, and I don't know if it's kind of in Shanahan's bag of tricks in the zone run scheme, is like some tackle pull where you get a tight end down, an easy down block, you know, out of a 2-point stance where Barnage or Drake can come down and kind of ear hole a defensive end, and you get Mitchell Schwartz looping around, you know, to get an easy block up on a safety, up on a linebacker, so that way you get a 320-pounder or 310-pounder up on a 250-pound linebacker, and you've got angles at that point. And that's the one thing that we're missing out on right now is – we're having trouble, you know, kind of learning on the run, and we're not creating the proper angles that the zone scheme requires.
Right, and that's the other thing, too. That's why I said you can go that way, and you can just try to line it up, get jumbo, and be creative, as you said, create new angles, show them different wrinkles on the same plays.
Motions,
that's all it is,
yeah.
Variations, or spreading them out. In your experience, my question to you is, do you, from what you've seen from the Browns, are the Browns a team that can go three wide, four wide even, spread you out, have the threat of the pass out of that, and also then run against a much lighter box?
It's tough, and I think it's kind of like a facade is what we're trying to create, because I don't necessarily think that the Cleveland Browns, and we haven't seen it thus far this season, going for wide receivers all spread because of the personnel that we have, all of them being able to win one-on-one, which is why we don't do it, you know? And so that way it's only going to be a matter of time before defense catches on that, hey, they're just doing this to open us up, you know? And then what they'll do is they'll start bringing some fire zone blitzes out of those packages, you know, and we saw the, you know.
But if you can make that hot read, you're going to have mismatches.
You're absolutely right. You know, and we've seen Brian Hoyer miss that hot read. Have we not?
We have.
So it's the preparation. It's that, again, it's every single game is a chess game. And if we are smart enough and our coaches are smart enough and the players can handle identifying those hot reads or those audibles, we can change things up very quickly.
One thing I've noticed is that we go empty quite a bit. And so when we go empty, talk about what that does to the D when you end up with getting, like, for example, the running back ends up all the way out wide. Talk about what that does to the D. And then I think one of the things we haven't utilized yet, which I know a lot of teams have, and I know even your San Diego Chargers used to use this, you line up empty and then motion out of the last second. LaDainian would go from the right sideline into the backfield and then get the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the game has changed a lot, Nathan. I mean, we used to see empty once or twice a game, maybe, and then, you know, maybe, and not see it for a couple games. You know, some teams like it, some teams don't. But in today's NFL, you know, with that spread, wide open offense, and I think college, you know, I think even professional coaches are taking some tricks and gadgets from the college game and bringing them into the pro game. So we're seeing empty sets a lot more often. But you're right, it's tough. And there's emphasis in training camp where you're working an entire day against empty, you know. And I think that what's very, very hard, what it forces the defense to do is, you know, you don't want Tashaun Gibson on a wide receiver and Joe Hayden on a running back, you know, situations like that where it makes the defense break the huddle, you know, whether, and you saw the Raiders do it. We used to call it a explode, you know, they line up in a tight running set and then they explode to an empty set. And it forces you, like, it's like, holy crap,
I got him.
Everybody go? I got him. No, you got him. No, who's going to, and then they motion guys into bunch formations, things like that, that make you think on the run. So those are the types, again, that's the innovation I'm talking about that you can do also too in the run game. Line up, you know, in spread, not necessarily five wide or four wide, you know, but in 22 personnel or 13 personnel, have Painter standing up, you know, clap of the hands. He comes back in, he gets down in his 3-point stance. You know, Dre comes in motion right off his hip, and you capture that edge. So there's a lot of things that you can do to create, and we used to call it window dressing, you know, to keep a defense on its toes, allows us to innovate. You know, with different formations, different motions, different explosions out of different types of sets, that to manufacture doubt in the defense's mind, which in turn we will take advantage of to manufacture the yards we need to get that kickstart in the run game.
Do you think we need something like that? Do you think we're at the point right now where we need to throw in the wrinkles? We can't just line up and continue to do what we were doing. There's just too much tape on it, and right now we have not kind of soften the defense enough with our passing game.
No, you're right. And without Alex Mack, I don't think we're that force on the ground anymore. And we saw in the last 2 weeks, defenses take advantage of that. So in my eyes, it's not gimmicky. And at this point, as Coach Pettine said yesterday,
it's just a variation. It's a progression.
It's a progression, exactly. And we have to also understand that if the coaches feel the players can handle it, they'll add it. And that's the one difficult thing, because if Kyle Shanahan, say today, the mastermind is in his think tank, you know, producing these innovations to manufacture yards, and they go out and introduce it tomorrow when the players come back and go out on the practice field and they all, you know, crap on themselves when he tries to do this, it's getting thrown out of the game plan and you're going back to what you are.
You do.
So the players have to be open-minded to latch on to these things, and they have to be kind of spoon-fed to the guys. And you know, you add a wrinkle this week, you add a wrinkle next week, because in my eyes, if you're a playoff team, you're building these innovations right now. And for the Texans and the Colts and the Ravens
Bengals.
And both Bengals games, you know?
Yep.
So it's like, let's do it now so that we have it in our bag of tricks. Whether we use it or not, I don't know. But if it comes up and we execute, the Bengals have to be prepared for.
Right, something they have to look at, something they have to see. Heil Business Machines, hot topics of the day. How would you get the ground game back up and going? We've gotten into that a lot from a scheme standpoint and some of the wrinkles and the progressions of the running game. We'll talk about personnel there. We'll also ask you why. The Browns are 3-1 their last four games. What do you believe is the biggest reason for that success? Matt and I will give our answers. And we'll also be handing out our grades from Sunday's game. Then we're asking you what position gets your highest grade and which gets your lowest and why. 216-578-0850. That's the way to get on board here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Coming off of the Browns late night victory over the Raiders. The passion, the electricity in the streets of Cleveland was off the charts, and we want to hear from you. Share that passion with us. 216-578-0850 when we come back here with more CBD.